This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. JP and Bish from the Junkies hanging out this Saturday morning on The Fan. We'll pass the baton to EB and Dukes at noon. Before we do that, Travis Thomas from NBC Sports Washington will join us at 11:20. We'll talk some Wizards and the return of the NBA with Travis. And if you missed our interview with Dr. Tom Mayer, the medical director for the NFLPA, on the Junkies on Thursday. We're going to play that at the end of the show. Really interesting stuff. Yep. Kind of opened our eyes to a couple things that you weren't thinking about. You think about coronavirus and you think, well, young people, they're okay. But young people that weigh 350 pounds, maybe not so much.
Yeah, the
young
body
people
mass,
that have sleep apnea, maybe not so much.
What's the BMI? Is that body mass index?
Yes.
Is that what that stands for? Yeah, you don't think about
and,
that.
And BMI can sometimes be misleading, because take somebody like LeVar Arrington in his prime. He probably had a high BMI, but he was full
muscle.
Of muscle.
Right.
But
right.
It's those linemen that have like the big gut. I'm sorry. A lot of them have a ton of muscle, and they can lift a ton of weight, and they can rock, you know, with the best of them on a bench press. But they got big bellies.
Yeah, the BMI is high.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. So it's a really good interview. Just an update from round three at the Travelers up in Cromwell, Connecticut. They started early because they're expecting some bad weather. So leaders went off around 9 o'clock this morning. And of course, the story of the tournament is Phil Mickelson. At age 50, shooting 64-63 in his first two rounds, and he was the leader coming into today. He's dropped one today. He's one over through seven, so he's 12 under. The story of the day is Dustin Johnson. He's 6 under through 12, so he's on fire. He's tied for the lead with Brendan Todd, Brendan Steele, Mackenzie Hughes, and that is it. So it's a four-way tie at 13 under, and the story of the day is Dustin Johnson going low, low, low. Remember, he was he looked really rusty in that that drive for charity sponsored by TaylorMade a few weeks ago that we watched with Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy. You could tell he was rusty, and then he missed the cut in the very first tournament down in Colonial. Didn't look good there, but he played better at Hilton Head, finished 17th, and then obviously he's put it together this week. So,
DJ, has he won a major? He's won a major,
yep,
right?
Yep, he's won one.
So he's won one.
The guy probably should have won two. Probably should have won three, actually. But, yeah, he does have a major.
And the guy who everybody talks about who has yet to win a major is Ricky Fowler, right?
Correct. I think he's only got 5 wins on tour, just 5 PGA Tour wins. Kind of an underwhelming. He's finished second a bunch of times in majors, but he's got an underwhelming career just with the overall win title, right? So anyway, so keep an eye on that. One of the stories that we wanted to touch on, I don't know who we were talking about with the dog attack. I think it was Vince Neil earlier in the week. Vince Neil's dog, I think he had a Yorkie, one of those really small dogs, was attacked by some other dogs, brutally attacked and killed. We talked about that. And then there was a story about Ezekiel Elliott's dogs. He's got 3 dogs. He's got 2 bulldogs and a rot. And I guess there was someone at his house servicing his pool, like a pool cleaner, last March. And that it was a female, and she was attacked by the 3 dogs. And TMZ obtained the pictures. And I'm sure you saw the pictures. Her arm was just completely shredded. And she's suing him for somewhere between $200,000 and $1 million for, you know, emotional and physical suffering.
I mean, you got to watch your dogs, man.
The pictures are unbelievable of the arm. I mean, they really did. I mean, you can almost see the bone in a right forearm.
Right. Have you had any incidents that have gotten you nervous where your dog went after a human? I know that you say your dog doesn't like
other dogs,
labradoodles.
Yeah. Right. She's attacked other dogs, but no, she's never attacked another person. I get nervous when she's around little kids because sometimes kids can be, you know, very loud and they can come up behind her and jump on her, and then she's not comfortable with that. So I always have to stay right next to her when kids come up to her. I don't think she'd ever attack a kid, but she might snip at it.
No, I get it. Yesterday, I think it was an English bulldog. Isabella loves dogs, so we went out to a little grassy area between some townhouses where we just like to kind of kick the soccer ball and run around. It doesn't usually last that long. And it immediately went into, people are walking their dogs, and she goes up to the dogs. And she probably played with this one dog for 15 or 20 minutes.
Right.
I happen to know the lady who was walking the dog. And at one point, though, the dog almost looked like she was going to start to bite Isabella. And the lady had to remind her, well, just always approach from the front. Like she was trying to hug the little English bulldog, but when she was coming from behind, the bulldog was getting nervous.
Yeah, dogs get a little nervous when kids are around, but man, these pictures of this girl are brutal.
I would imagine that they reached some sort of settlement. Like, I doubt that Zeke wants to deal with it.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to reach a settlement. Well, they have to. I mean, she was there providing a service and was attacked by three dogs.
By the way, Zeke Elliott's one of those guys who did have the coronavirus. I didn't really read up that much about his experience there. It seemed like he had a mild case, right?
I think he was very mild, yeah. I'm not even sure he had any symptoms.
But going back to our interview with Andrew Brandt, which was in the 9 o'clock hour, Andrew Brandt was excellent, former executive for the Packers, an NFL agent. He did bring up an interesting point that these guys who have it and recover, their cardio may be horrible for a while afterwards.
Yeah.
Like he pointed to Von Miller. If you missed the interview, do use that rewind feature on Raider.com because it was really good. And that's something we're kind of sleeping on. So let's say Terry McLaurin from the Redskins gets COVID. He's young, pretty confident that he'd recover. But the question is, how healthy is he going to be when he returns to the field? Is he going to be 100% or is he going to be 80% of himself? You know what I mean? Will he be able to stay out there for first, second, and third down, or is he going to get winded quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see it in the other leagues starting out. I'm not so sure about baseball. I think you're going to see injuries in baseball, but obviously the cardio isn't as important in baseball as it is in the NBA and hockey. But you're going to see a lot of injuries early on in the restarts, especially in the NBA. I really believe that. Just because, you know, who knows? And in hockey, I mean, I don't even know if these guys were able to skate at all. You know, now they're starting to get back into their home cities and get out to the arenas, but or their practice rinks. But you know, before that, they weren't doing much. They were just at home working out. They weren't skating. I think you're going to see a lot of injuries early on in the NBA and hockey restarts, and certainly in the NFL, with no training camps or abbreviated training camps. No preseason, really. They're probably just going to scrap the preseason altogether. They might have one game. So you're going to see a lot of injuries early. I'm convinced of that.
Yep. No question about it. All right, so Travis Thomas is going to join us next.
Yeah, talk Travis, a little NBA with him.
Who I've done a bunch of stuff with on NBC Sports Washington, covering the Wizards. He does the show with Wizards Outsiders with Quentin Mayo, who we spoke to like a month ago on NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk to him about the Wizards, who are returning, although they're not returning with the full team. Davis Bertans is deciding to sit out the rest of the season because he's going to sign a big, fat contract. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to him about the NBA coming back generally.
Real quick, it's great that we're off next weekend. We have a legitimate three-day weekend for July 4th. All right? But just think, if we had to come back and do another Saturday show next week. So we've covered pretty much all the sports today. So we had FP to talk baseball. Yep. We had Joe B to obviously talk Caps and hockey. And now we're going to talk to Travis about the NBA. Next week, there would be no update. Like we would have to schedule.
Well, the update might be that they're actually starting to practice.
Yeah, Okay, but we'd still have to, we'd have guests on talking about the same thing, like what to expect again.
Yeah, we can play the same interviews.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good that we actually have the next weekend off. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, as I mentioned, Travis Thomas, NBC Sports Washington, he'll join us next. It's JP and Bish hanging out this Saturday morning. It's The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. JP and Bish hanging out on a Saturday morning on The Fan. Remember, coming up at noon, it's E. Bizzle and Chad Dukes. But joining us right now is my good buddy Travis Thomas from NBC Sports Washington. Used to work a lot with him on Wizards pre-games and post-games till they got rid of me, brought in Quentin Mayo, and started the Wizards Outsider show.
Yeah, they just said, you're finished.
What's up, Travis?
First of all, thank you for the introduction, the music, the hype up. I appreciate it. And listen, you're a big fan of Quentin as well. So in a perfect world, I would love for all of us to be involved in Wizards pregame and postgame. But just the fact we're even talking about Wizards has me fired up. So good morning to you, gentlemen.
Yeah, what's going on, Travis? Well, I know you were having a lot of fun. Before we even get into the Wizards, though, what have you been doing the last couple months? Travis is a guy who, I'll say this, Travis, and you might remember this, Jason, when we did that Geico Football Central, Travis was a producer. He was kind of a behind-the-scenes guy.
I know.
But this guy loves the camera. He is the furthest thing from shy, and he has a good time. And he, I kind of learned about Travis that he grew up as an only child, and so he kind of taught himself to have fun in a way, and that's kind of transferred to his television career. So without the outlet of television and kind of cutting it up with Quentin, what have you been doing?
Well, listen, honestly, I've been Mr. Mom. So my wife is essential personnel. She's a social worker, so she's literally out there saving the world every day. You know, helping the homeless get jobs and places to live, especially during this pandemic. That's exceptionally challenging and extremely important. But guess who's been home with the kids since daycare and schools are shut down? And I don't have sports. So I have been just spending every moment with a three-year-old and a one-year-old.
Ooh.
And I've learned a lot about myself during this process.
Have you learned, let me tell you this, because Isabella is three, just turned three in March. Have you been able to get your three-year-old to the point where they put toys back?
Absolutely not. Let me tell you something right now. Uh-huh. I have not been able to get my three-nager to do anything. Anything. If you look in the handbook of fatherhood, I fail every single chapter. I think he's pulled a Mark Sanchez, guys. Like, he has regressed since this pandemic. Daycare had him and my daughter in shape. They were great. They were falling in line for everything. Since I've been home and I've been in charge, they have regressed at everything.
Yeah, but they're alive. That's the big thing. You've kept them alive, so you're doing your job.
That's it. That's it.
And by the way, Travis, I tell parents with young kids, even though it sounds crazy, right, and you probably think I'm stupid for saying it, but cherish the days that they're 1 and 3, because when they are 19, my oldest daughter just turned 19 today, when they're 19 and 16 and they're barely in the house, and when they are, they're on their phones in their room with the doors closed, right? You barely know you have daughters. That's not a fun time. So cherish the days where you can run around and clean up the house full of toys.
For sure. It's hard to see the forest through the trees, but I definitely hear you on that one.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, so let's get into the return of the NBA, where the Wizards are. The Wizards have a grasp, but it is a long shot to get into the playoffs. So I guess they're going to play a couple of games, and they're going to play without Davis Bertans. Why don't you fill us in on where the Wizards stand?
Yeah, listen, I mean, when you look at the schedule, and JP, you and I do this all the time, radio and TV, you look at the schedule, and I'm interested to see what you guys think, but I see 500 basketball there. I mean, I see some winnable games. I see some teams that weren't knocking my socks off. You know, when you think of Phoenix and Brooklyn and teams like that. And then you see kind of middle-of-the-road-ish teams like Pacers. Boy, could anyone underachieve more than the Sixers, right? So those are winnable games in my head. OKC was kind of overachieving. You don't know what they'll look like when they come back. Milwaukee's Milwaukee and Boston's Boston, so you would think those are losses. But certainly I see 500 basketball, and we both know if you go 500 or you're playing around 500 basketball and a couple of those games go either way, I wouldn't doubt at all that the Wizards have a chance to sneak in. Here's my thing. It's easy to get caught up in what we watched before the pandemic and just think, oh, they'll go 2-6 or whatever. The fact of the matter is we don't know anything. We don't know how the layoff is going to help or hurt some of these teams, okay? So at the end of the day, who's to say that they don't get hot, they don't go on a run, and they get in, and then, oh, by the way, in any year, a team that sneaks into the playoffs is dangerous. But I would say this year is that on steroids because you just don't know. You don't know what the top teams – what if Milwaukee's out of sync? So all of a sudden, if the Wizards are hot, they figure out a way to get in. I think the sky's the limit. I think they could maybe win a series or two, but we just don't know.
Okay,
anything.
Travis, see, this excited. Is where I'm going to stop you. This is what Travis would do on TV. He now has the Wizards.
Beating the Bucks.
He has the Wizards winning not just one round.
Right.
Round or two? Come on now. They'd be lucky to make it into the playoffs. I think it's nice that we're going to be able to see some of these guys, but, you know, they're not going to be the same team. So their number one sniper from the outside, Davis Bertans, is not going to play. So I agree with you. They could play 500-type basketball in the little amount of games that they're going to play, but that's probably not going to be good enough to get into the playoffs.
Travis, here's the other thing we don't know, and you make some good points about not knowing anything about, you know, expectations, but we don't know if the players are going to care. They're coming back just to collect a few paychecks, but do you think the Wizards really, Bradley Beal really cares about these games when he knows mathematically it's a long shot? The other thing.
I absolutely do, and I'll tell you why. There were several times this season where the Wizards could have said, listen, I mean, this is cute. The Eastern Conference is so porous that mathematically we have a shot at the playoffs, but we don't really feel that we do. We're going to shut you down, Bradley Beal. Save you for next season when John's back and just tank the rest of the way and get a better pick. They didn't do that. Bradley Beal wouldn't stand for that. And guess what? He played at an all-NBA level, and he said, I'm going to will this team to the playoffs. I think he does care. And let me back up, JP, to something you said. Without Davis Bertans, or sharpshooter, no one's denying the guy can shoot the lights out. But can we stop pretending that he, for the first half of the season, was amazing. But since the All-Star break, he wasn't setting the world on fire anyways. So to me, I'm not saying he won't be missed. I'm not suggesting that. But to suggest this guy is Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan is absurd. This team will care. In fact, you guys know I'm a betting man. I'm going to put my money on it. I think a lot of these bottom-feeding teams, let's call them, I believe they're going to care more than the top seeds.
Well, here's what I'm saying, though, Travis.
I don't think so.
Travis.
They're going to be sitting in a hotel room by themselves without their families in front of no fans. How are they? They're going to want to get the hell out of Dodge. Yeah.
And just the math is against the Wizards, okay? They have to win. They have to go better than 500, and then they need Orlando to really suck in their last several games. And what I think you're forgetting is this was a 24-40 team, okay? So to assume they're going to play 500 down the stretch, I think it's doable, but they didn't do that all season. Through 64 games, they were way under 500.
Yeah, I just think, again, we will see how the layoff will play out. And I do think it will be an advantage to some teams. Like, for me personally as a fan, forget the Wizards for a second, I cannot wait to watch LeBron James. With time off, time to heal his body, you know, a lot of the reason they're even playing this season, in my opinion, is because of LeBron James and how outspoken he is and how much power he has within this league. We all know who he's chasing in terms of greatness. I just feel like, as a fan, I can't wait to sit back and watch this guy. He's already an alien anyways, but to see him play now with some time off and being as focused as he's going to be to get, you know, to get another ring with the Lakers, that's going to be amazing to watch. So I'm just saying, I don't think we can sit here and accurately predict, well, you know, when the season was going on, this team was doing that. So it's just a foregone conclusion that they're going to do that now when we restart. I think it's going to be almost like restarting the season. Everyone's 0-0, and I know that's cliche, but that's how I think it's going to be.
All right, so what are your thoughts on opening night, which right now it's scheduled for July 30th. Who knows if it'll go off as scheduled, but July 30th, you got at 6:30 on TNT, you've got the Jazz against New Orleans, so you get to see Zion. And then you've got LA at 9 o'clock. So it's doubleheader on TNT in that first night. So you get to see your boy Zion, and then you get to see your boy LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the battle for LA is what's fascinating to me. I think all of us probably feel as though that Western Conference will be decided with those two teams. I actually have a futures ticket on the Clippers to win the entire thing. So I'll be rooting for the Clippers for selfish reasons. But as I just told you guys, I can't wait to see what LeBron does individually. So I will have all eyes on that game. Zion, I don't know what to make, because for me, I thought, okay, this quarantine, maybe he's sitting back, he's eating all the New Orleans good food down there, and he's thinking their season's over. And then we know they expanded the field to probably pander to Zion and get him involved. And then I hear reports that he's actually in the best shape he's ever been. So I'm excited to see what he can do, even though I got to be honest, he doesn't get the attention of Zion, but I think Ja Morant is a better player than he is. But I get the Zion phenomenon. I get the NBA feeling as though maybe he's the face of the future for that league. But I'm excited to see Ja Morant the next night as well. But I think they did the right thing in terms of opening night matchups. Both of those are intriguing.
Joined by Travis Thomas, NBC Sports Washington. You can watch him on Wizards Outsiders with Quentin Mayo. Just curious, so you mentioned you had a future. What is a Travis Thomas future bet? How much is it? Is it $100? Is it $50?
Yeah, for futures, I usually go – yeah, listen, for futures, you got to go big or go home, okay? So futures – in general, for me, is $100. When I bet games, I'll bet 50, sometimes even 25 a game. But for future bets, I always go $100.
Mm-hmm. I got to see if my site will. They haven't even posted any futures for the new restart. I don't know if they've changed their odds. I'd have to check that out, because I'm going to be wagering. It's going to be weird to wager on these games, Travis, because, again, you got no fans. There's no, you know, it's all neutral floor. I've already, given you my opinion on whether or not the players are going to care. It's going to be really strange to see.
You don't
see.
Know who's going to be in shape. Like, Jason's theory is a guy like Joel Embiid could come out a little bit chunky.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, so you just don't know. There's so many unknowns. But so betting on these games is going to be a crapshoot.
It is. I'm probably, from a betting angle, guys, and you know you're speaking my language on this. For me, I'm probably going to be looking at totals more than I am sides. And here's why. I think Vegas may undervalue and think, well, we could get some sloppy play here to start. I don't believe that. Just like I'm bullish on the Wizards, I'm bullish on the fact that I think these guys do care. And I think you're going to come out and, listen, basketball is a sport. These guys have been playing. Now, maybe they haven't been playing pick-up 5-on-5, but most of them can play at home or play at a local court somewhere. I don't think the game is going to be as sloppy as people think. I think it's going to look a lot more like summer league or an all-star game where no one's playing defense. So I'm going to be looking at totals, and I'm going to be going over the moon on most of these games.
You like the over like cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the ones with low point totals. The ones where, you know, it's expected to be a low-scoring affair, I will hammer the over.
Only have a minute here. I wanted just to hear if you knew anything about John Wall. I know he's not going to return this season, but in terms of how he's looked, the only thing I saw was, and I thought it was great, that he was involved in the protesting with Bradley Beal. So it was good to see those guys together. What are you hearing about him on the court?
I'm hearing he's ready to go, and I'm hearing he could play now, but obviously they're going to be smart and sit him till next season, which is the right thing. But I don't want to gloss over what he's done for the community, JP. I'm not suggesting you did that. But it's not just a protest. I mean, this guy's out here raising money for families, and I know this because of what my wife does in her line of business. Mm-hmm. But he's raising money for families that are less fortunate in this area. I think, I got to be honest, I think John Wall and Bradley Beal really don't get enough credit. We are lucky right now in this city to have a Bradley Beal, a John Wall, a Natasha Cloud, people like this who are as outspoken as they are for social issues, and they put their money and their time where their mouth is. It's a special time in D.C. sports.
Well, Travis, man, thanks a lot for the time. And by the way, Travis came on a little bit later. Like, I initially was going to – I asked him if he could come on in the 9 o'clock hour. You had a big birthday breakfast for the wife. So happy birthday to your wife.
Thank you. Thank you. Real quick, JP, we were supposed to go to breakfast, but she went out with the girls last night for some birthday drinks. Uh-huh. She canceled that breakfast real quick.
Oh, I bet she did.
We ended up just staying home.
Hey, well, that saves you some bucks, and you get the credit because it's the thought that counts. So you get the credit
exactly.
for setting up the breakfast, and you don't have to pay for it. It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. And she's paying for her decisions last night as we speak. It's a beautiful thing.
All right, Travis, good stuff. That's Travis Thomas.
Time.
You can follow him on Twitter at Travis Thomas EXP, the Travis Thomas Experience. For Bish, I'm JP. Coming up next, it's Dr. Tom Mayer, the medical director of the NFLPA. You don't want to miss that. Welcome back. It's JP and Bish from the Junkies hanging out this Saturday morning. Earlier this week on the Junkies, we were happy to be joined by the medical director of the NFLPA, Dr. Tom Mayer.
What up, Junks? How's my favorite journalist?
Hello. Oh, we're doing all right.
Journalist is a stretch.
That. You have a low bar for journalists, apparently.
Doc, we're looking forward to the return of sports, but, you know, and I know this is not the sport where you are the doctor for, but we were talking about golf earlier where there's been a little flare-up of coronavirus cases and where that might be heading. Let's talk about the sport you do, you're involved with, which is football. They've been having, I don't know if it's been a spike, but they've been having some players that have tested positive during these private workouts. That's something you've recommended against, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's, you know, no offense to the players. They're doing what they want to do, which is, and what they love to do, which is get in shape, get ready, foam at the mouth to get back and do what they've spent their whole lives trying to do. But it just shows you that you got to have a system. And without a system, that's what happens. You know, the measurement itself is not the measurement value, but the ability to say this player is has virus in their nasal passages. So, you know, that's what we're hard at work on, is getting a protocol that we all agree on and that we can measure very, very carefully to say if someone it does have virus, then we have to isolate them for a period of time so that they're not shedding it and spreading it. And so it's, I can't say I'm surprised by it, but it just reiterates the hard work that we're doing and the need for that hard work to make sure that it virus doesn't get transmitted. I mean, this virus has one natural enemy and one only, and that's transmission. You shut off transmission, you shut off the virus. So, my recommendation to the guys was that let's not be doing this stuff until we get a formal testing procedure in place and an ability to have a whole structure across the board.
Is there any way for you guys to monitor the percentage of players that have been testing positive and hospitalized as compared to the rest of society as a whole?
Well, the NFL, we signed a memorandum of understanding, MOU, with the league that they have to report to us not only any player, but any staff member that tests positive. So So to the extent that that has been reported, we know about those people. We don't know the individuals unless somebody, Von Miller, for example, and famously so, or Sean Payton, coach with the Saints, goes public and tells us. But the good news is that of the 30 or so that have tested positive, so far no one's had to be hospitalized. So, you know, knock on wood, cross fingers and toes, and so far we've avoided that.
So, Doctor, how do you deal with reports of Tom Brady holding workouts in Tampa Bay and Kyler Murray apparently getting together with teammates like DeAndre Hopkins in Dallas? Do you guys, you know, email them? Do you reach out to them and say, you shouldn't be doing this? Well, what's the protocol for dealing with those guys and other players that are just trying to get ready for the upcoming season?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, it's not just technically true, but I work for them. They don't work for me. They pay me to advise them and give them the best advice. And we've got a group of serious scientists that help advise me and the players. You know, that said, we've been clear. We have reached out to and sent an email and posted on Slack that the statement I'm sure you've seen, which is that our best advice to them to show up at the training camps healthy and keep their families healthy is not to do that until everyone is involved in a rigorous screening and testing program. So that's still my advice. Be my advice tomorrow. Unless somebody comes up with a vaccine tonight, it's still going to be my advice.
Well, here's my question. Yeah, because we were touching on this. Sorry, Jason. We were touching on this earlier, Doc. And, I mean, obviously, we all want the same thing, right? We want this virus to go away. But right. We don't know when it's going to – we don't know if it's going to be one of these recurring things like the influenza. We have to, I mean, nobody knows. We can hope that it's just a one-time thing and that's it. What is sort of our threshold going to be? Because I can make the argument, and I can very much back it up with data, that these younger athletes – especially, I mean, you know what? I'm a little bit in the pickle on some of these offensive linemen. I don't know if they're in the peak of health, but I assume they are. But young, healthy athletes, generally under 30 or whatever, right? They'll sail through this, generally speaking, better than influenza even. But we still allow us to play with influenza, right, Doc? So so even if we have a vaccine for this, there's still going to be – the vaccine for flu is not foolproof, right? Like, I had the flu twice.
Right.
What are we going to do? What is our threshold of – okay, this is acceptable risk? What's the answer?
It's an excellent question.
It's never going to be zero.
Yeah, it's an excellent question. Yeah, it's an excellent question, and here's why. Because it is a fallacy, and no offense, but here's the fallacy. And that is, this is, as we talked before, it's a novel and emerging coronavirus. What does that mean? I mean, those aren't cute words. That means we don't know.
Right.
That this is still so early. We have less than 1 year of experience with this, and so we simply do not know from the data that we have right now that the argument that, hey, you're young and healthy and you're in good shape. What we do know is that here's the risk factors for contracting the disease. Here's the risk factors for having more severe disease. And here's the risk factors, while extremely low, hospitalization or even death. And those risk factors, you guys know, male, you know, having a Y chromosome doesn't help you in this disease. African-American, Hispanic, or Pacific Islander, well, that's nearly 80% of our population. BMI greater than 28, the two Super Bowl teams, 80% of their players had BMIs greater than 28.
Wow.
And nearly 60% had BMIs over 30. Mm-hmm. Now, you get up into 40, that's even different. So you start at number one. We don't know that the statement, hey, you're young and healthy, you'll be okay, even if you get it, is true or not true. And number two, we do know, without question, that the risk factors are higher for people with those diseases. Plus, you had sleep apnea, you had hypertension, and most of our guys don't have cardiovascular disease or lung disease, although Von Miller has asthma. So he was at a higher risk factor. He did well so far. Then add this little piece and think about yourselves and think about your kids. And that is, we don't know what the long-term effects are. We don't know. There's some evidence that both pulmonary issues and cardiac issues may be a problem down the line, even in younger populations.
So we've got to be really careful about that assumption.
I would argue, yeah, I appreciate and I respect, and you know more than me, and I know a lot of people are fist pumping with what you're saying. I would just argue that I think we do know a lot about this in a sense that millions and millions and millions of people, I think the data is in pretty clearly around the world that young people, we may not know the long-term effects, Doc. Obviously, you can't know that. It's novel, like you say. But I think we know pretty definitively how well young people do with this. Now, you bring up the comorbidities. We can't argue that. You can't argue that. That's documented.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, it's not a technical term, but the data, and I spoke yesterday to people with the NIH and National Academy of Medicine, just to be sure I had it right, and the data has not been disaggregated, meaning taking those risk groups that we're talking about and saying, okay, you're young, but you have these risk factors. That just hasn't been disaggregated yet, and that's a major issue we got to get to.
Doc, maybe you've already answered this question, but if you did, just kind of recap it. When you talk to people in the medical field, all right, what is the one thing that doctors just don't understand about it, about the virus? What's the number one thing that, if you can pinpoint something, that you just kind of flummoxed?
Well, it's this. And first of all, you do have, to a certain extent, dueling scientists. Novel and emerging. So there's all these papers that are out there that haven't been peer-reviewed and gone through the scrutiny because of the need for speed. You know, we, as they say in Top Gun, we have the need for speed. And no criticism of that. But, you know, what we don't know is, you know, we know it's transmitted very quickly and efficiently, and you couldn't design a sport, an activity of any type more designed to transmit this disease than NFL football, particularly down in the trenches. And so what we don't know is, if you've had the disease, can you get it again? Does the fact that you have antibody to the virus mean that you're immune from the virus? We just don't know that. And that's the one that, as you say, people are kind of flummoxed. We won't know that until both more science is in and until we go through the fall wave, which, by the way, that's when we play football, I think.
We're not going to know that for years, I don't think. I mean, definitively, if you're talking about definitively knowing, Doc, that you're scaring me with a lot of what you're saying. I think even Tony Fauci would acknowledge that while we don't know for certain, I mean, I watched that guy as much as you, I'm sure, 9 billion times at the podium say, we don't know for certain, but we're pretty sure that you have some level of immunity for some indefinite period of time.
And that's precisely right. Tony's a friend, and I worked with him back in the inhalational anthrax crisis in 2001.
Boy,
you talk about indefatigable. I mean, that guy has energy to spare.
His energy level is insane. There's no doubt.
Yeah, it's nuts. I agree, but if you think about what you just said, it's some immunity and some level
of it,
and that's true, yeah. And so,
right, but we don't have zero risk, Doc.
You know, when you get the bad form of this disease, it's a badass virus.
Understood.
And, yeah,
understood. I don't want it. Are
but
you kidding?
Go back and the risk issue is. I mean, it is. There's a risk in everything. There's a risk in getting in your car and driving around.
Right.
You know, there's a risk in every activity that you do.
Hey, Doc, can you just?
You know, the risk is.
Doc, yeah, what's the threshold?
Can you just tell Jason to wear a mask when he goes in the grocery store?
My wife won't let me in the grocery store.
No. So the story on masks, very quickly. A so-called surgical mask, the kind you see, the cloth mask that people use, that protects others from you transmitting the virus.
Right.
Only an N95, one of those, you know, or KN95, there's two different types, only those prevent you from getting the disease.
Gotcha.
And so when you take about risk and frequency, our guys are in the trenches for 162 snaps a game, you know, blowing into each other's. It's almost like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation in terms of spreading oral secretions and therefore the virus. So that's where our risk multiplies.
The picture that you paint, I know we got a break. They're yelling at us. The picture that you paint, if they listen to your advice, I'm going to guess you would suggest no football.
No. No, I think we have to make it as safe as we possibly can. and that's all we can do. And then let's see how the virus transmits. So, no, we are optimistic we'll get the season open. We don't know how long it will last.
He just doesn't want any of the extras like these voluntary workouts. Thank you, Doc.
No worries.
That was Dr. Tom Mayer, medical director for the NFLPA. Really fascinating stuff, Bish.
I know. He brings up some valid points, right? It's certainly not a slam dunk that they're coming back on time in the NFL. College football, even a bigger question mark, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we talked to Andrew Brandt about that earlier. If you missed any of the interviews on today's show, hit that rewind feature on the radio.com app, because Andrew Brandt was excellent. He was a guy who was a VP for the Packers for 10 years, NFL agent, also had perspective on whether the NFL is going to return. Yep. Also, we'd have P. Santangelo, who I guess is watching your videos of chasing tornadoes, but FP was excellent as we talked about baseball. And, of course, Joe Beninati, the voice of the Caps, as well as Travis Thomas. So we had some great guests today.
Yep, and we get a weekend off next weekend, which
weekend
is excellent.
Off. But, of course, the Junkies will be back on Monday. And Chad Dukes and EB, they're coming up next. It's JP and Bish signing off. Thank you very much, Vic.
See ya.
Have a great weekend. Keep it here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.